That right here on KZOZ.
All right, so we got the midterm elections coming up.
Normally, this doesn't become a big topic on our program because we're so stupid, silly, and it doesn't really apply to us.
It doesn't really apply to. But I don't think it applies to a lot of people. I think it applies to a small amount of people.
Maybe as we get older and more critical, we are finding out that.
Woohoo!
It's over, Curtis.
Party!
Curtis, are you excited that it's over?
Yeah, I was outside looking for that manna from heaven. I mean, there's just euphoria out there in the streets, people dancing.
Oh, yeah, people bending left and right.
Curtis Greco is the author of Blind Vision, and, with the elections coming up, you hear a lot about the stimulus package. You hear a lot about the Bush tax cuts. Of course, the Republicans want to bring them back. The Democrats want to bring them back, but they want to limit it to, people that make under $250,000 a year. Do you think this is going to get solved, number one? Because, I could use a tax cut. As Jeff and I just found out, we both just got married, and our tax situation has totally changed from being single to being married. And now I feel like I'm getting bent over. So it would be nice to hear that maybe we'll get some sort of tax break.
Well, it's one of the great gifts of the political speak is that, as long as you can divine the conversation, you can keep people from wondering what it is you're actually talking about.
Exactly.
Everything I just said, I don't even know what I'm talking about.
I swear, that is the policy of some of our salespeople here at the radio station, too. If they could just confuse the people into buying some advertising, then
well, what are you saying here? This is going to be somebody else's show tomorrow.
Well, Jeff, you were talking about earlier your little disquisition about the body politic and how it's us against them. You couldn't have had a better statement. I mean, if you had listened, as if you read my recent post on the website on imperfectmessenger.com, it's a topic that's called a promise. But it's true. This is the great conflict that's out there. Is that what we have is a public that is waking up from a 4 or 5 generation sleep over, that's discovering that in fact what our government is doing is not government at all. What in fact government has become is simply a political organism that's single and solitary purpose is to perpetuate the process of politics, and they do that by the concept you mentioned, divide and conquer. Right, you get people into defining these issues as either being Democrat or Republican, and you polarize people. And in the result of doing that is that government becomes free to do pretty much whatever it wants on behalf of the party that has the ability, and I don't mean political party, I mean the vested interest that has a particular outcome that they prefer. So you see in the case with why, on the issue of stimulus projects and these types of topics, one of the big failures of all of this is not that they don't work, but the greater failure is that we actually think that they do. I mean, you hear politicians will say, well, back in the day of the Depression and FDR's great success with the New Deal, well, the fact of the matter is the New Deal was an absolute disaster, the remnants of which, Social Security, live on to this day. What in my work and in the book series, the Blind Vision book series is a master title for what presently is a three books under that title. It was really just my attempt from looking at it and at the world I was working in and the environment and the questions clients of mine were asking and saying, Curtis, what are we going to do? I'm having this problem or there's the housing problem or the foreclosures and all these different things. And I started realizing as I was asked to speak in different organizations were all getting quite concerned, not only on the political end, but particularly here in California, when you look at the wasteland of Sacramento, anybody coming up, and this frankly hit me really hard when my own son going off to college, and he's asking me, Dad, what am I going to do? Well, the problem that I started to realize is that this is pretty much not just a minus 25-year-old range question that's percolating out there. It's everybody, whether you're going into college or you're 75, 80 years old in the so-called twilight of your years, and you're wondering where you're, whether Social Security is going to be there or not. So it's government has effectively socialized an entire population into believing that government actually serves best as a socializing entity, when in fact that's not at all what the representative form of government was intended to do.
It's like if you were to go in and buy a car, okay? And if you're going to go in and buy anything, because I don't want to negatively stereotype car salesmen, but if you're going to go in and buy anything, okay, and who do you want to buy it from? You want to buy it from somebody who's going to straight shoot you and let you know the truth, right? Well,
absolutely.
We are told that we're supposed to trust our government, yet they are not straight shooting us and telling us the truth at all. In fact, all they tell us is lies to help them get basically keep their job.
Well, you're absolutely right. That's why I say it, is that the government's sole purpose, the political system, has become a mechanism simply to do just that. Perfect example is Murkowski up in Alaska, right? Now, the duly appointed or duly elected, at least on the primary level, is there, has won the vote, person to quietly walk away, you know, give her kudos and give her a good blessing, toss her some holy water on her, and send her on her way. But no, Murkowski is so defiant and so belligerent that she's actually believed that she's entitled to be there. Key words. And you see this across the board of the Democrat political machinery. And this is why the Tea Party movement, and I'm sorry if I'm getting us off on topic, but it actually all is related. This is why the Tea Party movement exists at all. It is not a political movement. It is exactly what you were talking about before in the previous segment, Jeff. Americans by nature are not Democrat or Republican. We are not left. We are not right, vast majority, okay? Americans intuitively understand the role and the purpose of government, if only from the standpoint of what they know they don't want. And what we know we don't want is an enterprise on top of us telling us what we can and can't do, and then in the process of it, in order to enforce it, lie to you about why you should want it, okay? And I agree wholeheartedly with you. All the public is, or in the response to the Tea Party, all the Tea Party is the growing numbers of people who are waking up from the big sleep and are discovering that there is a serious problem here. And the evidence of it is just beginning to percolate, not just on the economic level, but on the political level. When the public observes, as you guys have, and your audience no doubt has, is this disenfranchisement, this disingenuous way the public is treated by the elected or the body politic. And they look at you as if, you know, who do you think you are? You don't know anything. You don't know better. We do, right?
Yeah.
That's one of these things of this mess in Delaware with this young lady who was elected. Now, the question isn't whether or not she's qualified, really, though that's relevant. But the greater question is, if you compare her track record and her background, I got to tell you, she's far more qualified than the president of the United States, who's never held a job outside of the elected outside of the body politic.
Well, and the funny thing about it is I think it scares both the Democrats and the Republicans, the traditional Democrats and the Republicans, but it also scares the media networks who have already picked their sides, whether it be the CNNs and the Fox Newses and the MSNBCs of the world, because they have already got this plan that they're very comfortable with, and they can cover the left side of the news or they can cover the right side of the news. Then all of a sudden they realize, oh, wait a minute, American people are starting to catch on to what they're catching on to is not what we're telling them.
Yeah.
We better tell them to discount what they're catching on to quickly to disseminate the message that what they're doing is stupid.
Well, you're absolutely right. I have a saying. It says you can call it whatever you want just as long as you don't have to tell them what it is, right? As long as there's no challenge to the system and you run along fat, dumb, and stupid, you can be fed pablum all day long and believe that you're getting a straight story. As long as the system, the media, and you're right on the especially on the the alphabet channels and cable, there is my great conflict with it, and what I try to do with the book series and my speaking commitments and my appearances like this is to get a different view to the public of what actually should be the questions they're asking of your politicians. For example, you hear of the other night I was at a fundraiser. And I got pulled into a conversation asking to make a comment about what this particular candidate was saying. And he was, of course, doing the same old rant. You know, the government needs to do more to create jobs. We need jobs. We need to fix the economy. Well, that's thank you, okay? Who in the public doesn't know that, right? But the question is, why is it nobody's talking about what to do? I don't mean the problem. I mean the solution.
Yeah, the plan.
And that's where you see in the dialogue of the day, whereas the Democrats can't argue the economy. They could be why? Because they can't argue success. They can only show, and you can only point to failure. The Republican machinery has to be very careful. They can't be too overt with a plan because the politics of the machinery will set loose the hordes of the Democratic pundits who will pick and, you know, cherry pick and bludgeon the Republicans. So they're left with this very peculiar political psychosis that's going on, and it translates through the media. And that is this: they can only pick a target they can identify and polarize it and make it personal, right?
Right.
And that's why you get this virulent speech against, you know, these so-called Tea Party candidates. The only way they can protect themselves or the organization is to assail and assault the opponents. And at this point, it's the Tea Party movement.
Yeah. Because, I mean, and that's what they've done for years. I mean, you know, taking shots at each other,
whatever the case is.
But in this situation, you know, I think people are looking for solutions. They're looking for, like you said, a plan. How are we going to fix this?
Right. It's easy to be distracted by the natural competitive nature of competition between whatever it be the politics, and then they evoke that, and they say, okay, well, I'm being attacked, so this is me fighting back, and then that becomes a bigger story than what the actual story is, and the actual story is fixing the housing market or getting more people jobs in the country.
Yeah.
So it creates a diversion, and then we just – it's a vicious downward spiral.
Well, Curtis, we appreciate you jumping on with us, and the book, again, is called Blind Vision. And your website, again, what was it?
TheImperfectMessenger.com. Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. The Amazon feeds are on the website. And I sure do appreciate your
lots of good stuff. We just scratched the surface with our discussion this morning.
Totally.
Lots
There's
of good
a lot
stuff,
of good stuff
there.
In there.
You can
but we'll talk again soon.
Right now, jeffandjeremy.com. There's a link right there on the post today. And if you missed the whole discussion with Curtis, we will make that available at jeffandjeremy.com a little bit later on.